welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton, and this week we're tackling power. In part one of my Smarter Power series, we're talking to a company recently released from stealth mode that is looking to change the face of our power supplies, one MUX capacitor at a time. My guest this week is Michael Freeman from Semitrex. Semitrex is launching a power supply revolution, my friends, and you've got a front row seat for all the action. Check it out. Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, first off, Semitrex. So, what do you guys do, and how did you guys get started?
Well, thank you for asking. Well, a couple of years ago, actually in 2012, I started working with supercapacitors. The original idea was to use a bunch of tiny supercapacitors to offset the hit from the cell phone tower that the battery normally takes, so that you, when you connect with the tower, it takes a pretty big spike in the battery. And so that would make the batteries in cell phones last longer. And as we started working with the capacitors, I realized, these are kind of like batteries. You can actually have them in silicon. And so I created, along with about 30 other engineers here at Semitrex, Team Semitrex, we created a technology that basically does the voltage conversion from like the 110 in the wall or 220 in Europe down to 5 volts you'd need to charge your cell phone with capacitors. So we do a pre-regulation scheme that does most of the conversion through capacitive voltage conversions.
So, Michael, as you well know, we are facing a wide range of energy-related issues today. And one of the biggest issues is that energy demand is eclipsing energy supply. So, how does Semitrex address this issue in particular?
Yes, you're right. The Forbes article came out recently saying that the vampire load problem, which is where wall warts, everything plugged in the wall that's pulling power, but it's not really doing anything, is a 400 terawatt hour waste per year around the world, which is about $80 billion in waste, and it's about a $12 billion waste in the United States. So our technology, being based on capacitors rather than transformers, is able to shut down all the active capacitor banks except for just a very few that still power a sensor that can sense to see what the next event is. If you plugged your phone back in, if it's a charging situation, if it's in your TV, if you tried to turn your TV on. And so we get it down to the very lowest possible electricity use. And that, in our case, is a half a milliwatt. And so the standards that the Department of Energy are coming out with next year, the level 6 standards, require that everything be at least down to 100 milliwatts on standby power. And we exceed that by being down to one half of a milliwatt on standby power. So that, plus the fact that our chips make their conversions at over 90% efficiency all the way down to 50 milliamps, makes our chip the most energy efficient conversion technology in the world, especially for chargers and things that are plugged into the wall, because they revert to flea power and less than a half a milliwatt on standby power.
So, Michael, I know you touched upon this a bit, but what makes Semitrex's technology in particular unique?
Yeah, so the unique thing is that instead of using a transformer, which makes the conversion from, let's say in the United States, 110 volts that comes out of the wall all the way down to 5 volts, which is a very large conversion ratio, we use teensy capacitors that are embedded in the silicon, so they're inside a silicon chip, to basically take little teensy drinks of that voltage, which is a very small conversion ratio, which works with very high efficiencies to make the conversion from the 110 down to the 5 volts that are needed to charge your phone. So we've really got a quantum shift in the dynamic that's existed for the last 100 years or so on using transformers to do the voltage conversion. We're using capacitors to do the voltage conversion, and we've called that technology MUX capacitor because MUX in engineering electronics is generally talks about many channels, many signals going into one, and so we've got many, many dozens and hundreds of these tiny capacitors going into one signal output that would then be your 5 volts.
So what do you think are some of the target markets or applications that will benefit the most from Cemetrex's technology today and in the future?
Today, there's a 1.5 billion chargers per year that are sold, and so we can address the charger market, which is well-suited for our technology, and this would be chargers that would have a single USB out or a dual USB out for tablets and cell phones or for laptops or for calculators or all kinds of small stereo devices, like you'd listen to your music. That is one of the largest target markets. However, in addition to that, there's another 1.5 billion units per year of things like televisions and monitors and white goods like washers and dryers and refrigerators and data centers and medical devices that all could use our highly efficient, no standby power, virtually no standby power, Tronium power supply chips. And the other thing that goes along with that is that because we are so highly efficient, we don't get hot and we don't create heat.
This is super cool stuff, Michael. So it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So you mentioned to me earlier that you have 2 Emmys. Now you've got to tell my audience what that is all about.
Well, I'd like to tell them that it was for my acting abilities, but it's not. It's for technology. In the early 90s, I grew up in a family that owned a computer company, and we were building computers. We actually had a chipset that Intel and Microsoft went together on to develop that for the first time would send in real time. It would crunch the video and allow it to be compressed and then sent through the CPU of the computer so you could see it on your screen. And our immediate thought, since we were in the camera business too, was let's do this with mobile video. So we created the first mobile video device, pairing the functionality of a cell phone and the cell towers with the intelligence of a computer. So we really created the first smartphone dynamic that was focused on video. And because television stations used it, at the time the internet was basically AOL and the internet was not like it is now, and so television stations used it to get their news on the air. So we actually won 2 Emmy Awards in 1994, one for Best Spot News for sending pictures from a boat in a flood into the news station, and then for Best Technological Innovation for Television for the year 1994. So we were very honored that we got those 2 Emmys, and I proudly display them on my mantle in the office.
I love it. I would too. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Michael. This was super cool.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be with you.
If my interview with Michael Freeman was just not enough for you, and you're dying for more information about MUX capacitors and Cemetrex's revolutionary power supply technology, I would encourage you to check out a recent blog post on eejournal.com by Brian Moyer, entitled Switching Power Supplies Revamped. You can find this blog post quick and easy by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. Now it's time for a little news you may have missed. Now, if you've been following along in your As the FPGA Turns readers, the past few weeks have been pretty exciting. You will know all about rumors that Intel has been trying to buy Altera. Wait, is this really news you may have missed? Have you been living under a rock again? Okay, here's the short version. Hey bud, did you hear? Intel's totally gonna buy Altera. No way, no they're not. Yeah man, they are, cuz... And that's about the whole storyline so far. So, last June, EE Journal predicted that Intel would buy Altera in order to get their FPGA technology into Intel's data center processors. Fast forward 8 months. And the Wall Street Journal runs an article saying that Intel and Altera are in talks. And Intel has offered something like $15 billion to buy Altera. Then new rumors come out saying Altera turned the whole thing down and talks have stopped. Then even newer rumors came out saying that Intel might be able to start a hostile takeover when a standstill agreement expires. And at the same time, other rumors said that an agreement the two companies had signed way back in 2013 made it so that Intel couldn't buy any other FPGA company, or, for that matter, develop their own FPGAs. Phew. High intrigue, huh? Look at that torch mob gathering. Well, we got a copy of that old agreement, and it seems that things aren't quite as bad as people thought for Intel. It looks like they still have some wiggle room in there. And at about the same time, more rumors emerged saying that the two companies may be now resuming talks. Mm-hmm. We have a bunch of articles and blog posts on EE Journal explaining the whole thing in detail. And I have put some handy links to all of those below the player for you. So what do you think? Will the big buyout go through? What will it mean for the FPGA industry, for Altera, for Intel, for data center love, peace, and harmony? Drop me a comment in the box below the player and let me know what you think. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have a YouTube channel, keyword, EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And while you're there on YouTube, keyword, EE Journal, you can also subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of May 8th, 2015, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.